Good morning.
Good morning.
We're on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov Uvar on page Pei, paragraph Nun Vav. Where it says, Rabbanan Lahecha Azel. Where did the Rabbanan go? Who are these Rabbanan? Rashi says, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. The Yad Ramah, also a Rishon, says that the Gemara is asking about the Mesim that Yechezkel revived. Where did they go? Rav says, Ayin Hara metu. They died from Ayin Hara. Shmuel Amar, Barok Tavu. Shmuel says they drowned in spit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Alul Eretz Yisrael, Nasu Nashim, Volidu Banim Vanot. They went up to Eretz Yisrael, got married, had sons and daughters. Ketanai, Nizamachokas Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Hara metu. Rabbi Eliezer says they died in Ayin Hara. Rishu Amar, Barok Tavu. Rishu says they drowned in spit. And Chachamim say they went up to Eretz Yisrael, got married, had sons and daughters. Shemar Shmana Yoshua Kohen Gadol Atavar Echa Yoshim Vanecha Kian Shem Ofet Hema Ezrohim Anashim Shnaselahem Ofet Habomer Chananya Mishael Vazaria. This pasuk says that the Navi said to Yoshua Kohen Gadol, "You and your friends who are sitting before you, they are people of wonders. Who are the people of wonders?" They are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And according to Yad Ramah, that the Gemara's question was about the Mesim that Yechezkel revived, I don't understand how this last piece fits in, where Gemara seems to explicitly refer to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Could be, as is sometimes the case with Rishonim, that the Yad Ramah had a different girsa, didn't have this line. Don't know for sure. There is a certain advantage to explaining the Gemara as referring to the Mesim that Yechezkel revived, rather than to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because according to Shmuel, who says, Barok Tavu, they drowned in spit. According to Rashi, that's referring to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, means that the Goyim spit at the Jews, and they said, "You have a God who could save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and you bow down to an idol." Why did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah deserve to die? According to Yad Ramah, that this is talking about the Mesim that Yechezkel revived, they perhaps are the same Jews who bowed down to the idol, and therefore they deserve to die. So there's a certain advantage to that. According to Rashi's understanding, we would have to answer the question, why did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah die? And we will come back to that. You want to say something?
So what Rabbi Yochanan says is exactly the same as what one of the opinions earlier about...
Correct, Rabbi Yosef Glulu. The editor of the Yad Ramah points that out. It would also a little difficult to understand why the Gemara is asking this question now, when seemingly we discussed this question before. What I want to talk about today is Ayin Hara. Rav says that, and we'll assume that this is like Rashi, that it's talking about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Rav says that they died in Ayin Hara. The Marsha points out, Rav is consistent with his opinion that 99% of people die from Ayin Hara. The questions we have to ask are, what is Ayin Hara, and what happened to a person being judged according to his merits and demerits? Person, if I can look at someone and he can die because of that, then what is it, you know, where are his mitzos and his averos taken into account? Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, brings a pasuk. This is the beginning of Parshat Ekev, Perek Zayin, pasuk Tedvav. Vesir Hashem Yimcha Kol Choli, Hashem will remove all sickness from you. V'chol Madvei Mitzrayim, and all the suffering of Mitzrayim, Haraim, Asher Yadata, which you knew, Lo Yisimam Bach, Hashem will not place them on you. Unetanam V'chol Sanecha, He will place them on your enemy. That is the pasuk. So the Gemara, Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet says, Vesir Hashem Yimcha Kol Choli, Hashem will remove all sickness from you. Amar Rav, Zo Ayin. This is the eye. Rav Latameh, and Rav is consistent with his opinion. De Rav Salik Lebe Kavre, Rav went to the cemetery. Avad Mai De Avid, he did what he did. Rashi says it means that he knew how to stand in front of a grave and determine what the person died from. Amar tishim v'tisha b'ayin ra'ah, he said 99% of people died from a bad eye. V'chad b'derech eretz, and one died a natural death. we also find a related statement of Rav, according to some of Farshim. Bava Basra Daf Beis Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rafuna, Amar Rav. Asur L'Adam L'Amod B'Sadech Avro B'Shashi Omedet V'Kamoteah. Person is not allowed to stand in his neighbor's field when it is in its full growth. Gemara there, at the beginning of Bava Basra, is talking about the concept of Hezek Re'iyah, of doing damage with your vision. And seemingly it ties back to the same Gemara. Rav is the one who teaches about Ayin Hara. It says 99% of people die from Ayin Hara. Now, to be absolutely accurate, the Gemara in Bavitsiya doesn't say Ayin Hara. It says Ayin Ra'a. There are those who suggest that's something different than Ayin Hara, but most don't. Most refer to that interchangeably, and we will do so for the most part. So Rav is the one who says that Ayin Hara kills people, and Rav is the one who says that looking at your neighbor's field could damage your field. Seemingly, same idea. So Tosos asks in Bamatzia Kuv Zayin Amud Bet, V'im Tomar, and if you'll say, Im Kain B'nei Yosef Shalosh Shal Tava in Ayin Hara, the tribe of Yosef, which is not subject to Ayin Hara, Hayalahen Lechiot Harbei Mikol Shvatim, they should have lived much longer than other tribes. We don't find that they did. Must be that they died of normal causes more than other people. When Hashem wanted to put them to death, he would send them other illnesses. It seems from Tosfos that Ayin Hara is some kind of illness. He says 99% of people die from Ayin Hara, and the tribe of Yosef dies from other illnesses. The Taras Chaim and Bava Metzia there sheds a little bit of light on our question. First of all, what is it that is making people die? And what about Schar V'Onesh? What about reward and punishment? Where did that go? And he says that the Gemara was bothered by the language of the Pasuk. Ve'sir Hashem imcha kol choli. Hashem will remove all illness from you. And Rav says that's Ayin Hara. What do you mean Hashem will remove the illness? Why not? Hashem won't bring the illness. Hashem will remove it implies it's already there. And Hashem will remove it. So the Taras Chaim explains that Hashem created the world in a certain way. Things happen in the world. We've discussed this before. We do have a concept of Hashkacha Pratis. We do have a concept of Schar V'Onesh. But a person has to be on a certain level to have everything in his life run minute by minute by Hashem. The majority of people are, through their own actions, abandoned to the forces of nature. A person doesn't conduct himself in a way where he relies entirely on Hashem. Then Hashem says, you want to live your own life? Go live your own life. And a person, to a greater or lesser degree, is subject to nature. That's what we've discussed that before. Based on that idea, Taras Chaim says, Ayin Hara is a force of nature. 99% of people, Rav is saying, are abandoned to the forces of nature. The Pasuk in Parshas Ekev is saying that if you are deserving, Ve'hisir Hashem mimcha kol choli, Hashem will remove that from you. You will be saved from that. Naturally, the default is that everybody is subject to it unless he does something to merit being saved from it. And therefore, if you will follow these laws and you will guard all the mitzvos and keep the covenant, then Hashem will keep his covenant with you and he will love you and he will remove you from this situation. That is how the Taras Chaim explains. He says that the Gemara got it from the fact that the Pasuk says, I will remove the illness from you rather than I won't place the illness on you in the first place.
So it's not a yes. Question that it's quick, but we spent days around Friedland this year discussing this concept. It seems to be that it's like one opinion that sort of the 1% that Tzadik Gomer here completely like that. And there's another opinion that it's like a range, depending upon how much you rely on Hashem in one
correct
area. That, you know, if, you know, somebody runs to doctors all the time, so they're going to be more relying on doctors. Than
correct.
I'm not saying never goes to doctors, but, you know, relying on Hashem, it's like a range.
So correct. This year.
Correct. That's 100% correct. And when I said to what degree do you rely on Hashem, that doesn't mean you sit at home all day long and don't go to work. That doesn't mean you're not relying on Hashem. If a person goes to work, but understands that it's not my work that's making me successful, it's Hashem that's making me successful, not just that he says those words. If he genuinely understands that, which is evident from his actions, if something doesn't go his way at work, how does he react? If he's a lawyer and he loses a case, how does he react? Gets a bonus or doesn't get a bonus, how does he react? Those are all things that will tell you whether he's truly relying on Hashem or not relying on Hashem. That's called relying on Hashem. I didn't mean to imply that it's black and white or on or off or yes or no. Like you said, it is a range. But the more that a person places himself in the hands of nature, which most people do, the Toras Chaim is saying, Rav says 99% of people are in this situation and only 1% have lifted themselves above this situation.
It's the hands of nature is representing, which is we're into circumstances in the world.
The natural way of the world. For example, I had this discussion with Yitzi a week ago, and I'm not a Navi. I don't purport to know the answer, but it's just an example. So we had those terrible windstorms. There were major highway closures. Somebody in our shul spent Shabbos on a bus because he couldn't get here. Yitzi was going to New York, and he just missed the closure. He was like one of the last cars through, as if buses. I understand correctly, one of the last buses through before the highway was closed. Does that mean that Hashem was specifically watching over Yitzi? Or does it mean the way of the world is that a bus that leaves Washington and drives up 95 will get to New York? And it's only the people who didn't make it who were experiencing Hashem's specific intervention. I don't know the answer. But that's an illustration. There is something called the way of the world. If a person, Ramban says, the Ramban says, if you eat too much junk food, you'll get a stomach ache. If you stand out in the sun for too long, you'll get a headache. This is, the Ramban says, does not involve hashgacha pratis. That is the way of the world. That's normal.
Gemara says that too.
That's an interpretation of Gemara. Kol yeshamayim chutz mitzinim ufachim. Everything's in the hands of Hashem except for colds and fevers. A person could, through his own behavior, bring colds and fevers on himself. I assume that's what you're referring to. And we spoke in a previous shiur about reconciling that Ramban with another more famous Ramban that says that everything that happens is hashkacha pratis. And you can go back and listen to that shiur and see how we reconciled that. You can't deny the fact that Ramban says there are things that are not hashkacha pratis. It's just the way of the world. You stand in the sun, you'll get a headache. The Chida in Petach Inayim on that Gemara in Bava Metzia says that what is Ayin Hara? It doesn't mean when Rav says that 99% of people die from Ayin Hara, it's not an independent cause of death. It is a description of circumstances. 99% of people will die in unpleasant circumstances. A person gets sick, spends a lot of money on doctors, can't go to work, his finances dwindle, other misfortunes follow as a result. All of those combined circumstances is what's called Ayin Hara. 1% of people will not experience that. That removes any question about, well, what about what happened to reward and punishment? Why? How can somebody die from Ayin Hara if he doesn't deserve to die? No, everybody is going to die. Rav is discussing the circumstances of death. 1% of people will merit to die an easy death, and 99% of people will die in such unpleasant circumstances of one kind or another. That's how the Chidah is explaining it. And everybody lives until the time that Hashem ordained for him to live. I mean, there are exceptions. We talked about a person getting kares through his actions and so on, but everybody has a set time, and this is not deviating from that at all. Rav was talking about the circumstances a person will find himself in. The Chidah says further, an alternative interpretation. Perhaps there is something called Ayin Hara that causes a person to die before his time. That doesn't mean that Rav is saying 99% of people die before their time. 99% of people die from Ayin Hara, whatever it is, and he'll offer an explanation in a minute. Among those, there are perhaps people who die before their time, as opposed to people who don't die, the 1% who don't die from Ayin Hara, for sure don't die before their time. What is Ayin Hara? So he brings Arizal, gematria of Ayin, is the same as gematria of Samech Mem Aleph Lamed, which is another name for the Malach that we call the Satan, Yetzer Hara, Malach HaMavet. You have to add one, which we do in gematria sometimes. The gematria of Ayin is 130. The gematria of Samech Mem Aleph Lamed is 131. And Rav is saying 99% of people die from the Malach HaMavet, and 1% of people die with what's called Mitat Neshika, the death of a kiss, which is how Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam died. What that is, can't tell you. It's Shem Lo Bizoche after 120 years, but other than that, I can't tell you. So what we've seen so far is, again, three possible explanations. Taras Chaim says Ayin Hara means simply being subjected to the way of the world. The Chidah in the first explanation says that Ayin Hara means dying in bad circumstances. And in the Chidah's second explanation, Ayin Hara means the Malach HaMavet.
When he says 99 and 1, is he literally saying 99 out of 100, or is he saying almost everyone?
According to Rashi, he stood in a cemetery and took a poll. He was able to communicate somehow with the people buried there and took a poll. Does he literally mean 99%? I don't know.
That would seem, according to the last explanation, that would seem high based on the way that we usually talk about the world. Meaning, are there really 1% of everyone in the world?
Dies in Mitanashika, you mean? I don't know.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. And the other question is talking about people of the world or is talking about Jews? I don't know that.
Even if it's talking about Jews, it's a lot of people.
Okay. As mentioned, as alluded to by Shosos, the tribe of Yosef is not subject to Ayin Hara. The Gemara that relates that the Amora, Rabbi Yochanan, would sit outside the mikvah so that the women leaving the mikvah would see his beauty. Rabbi Yochanan was extremely handsome and would have beautiful children like him. And students asked him, so there are a couple issues there. It's a tznius question, Shigemara addresses. But another question is that the students asked him, aren't you afraid of Ayin Hara? And he responded, I'm from the tribe of Yosef. I'm not subject to Ayin Hara. What does that mean? Rav Shlomo Kluger in Chochmas HaTorah on Parshat Vayechi, page Reish Samech Dalad, suggests that Ayin Hara is what happens when a person's Tzelem Elokim is removed. We know a person cannot look at Hashem. Ki lo yirani ha'adam b'chai. A person cannot see me and live. If we would maintain our Tzelem Elokim, our image of God, people could not look at us. Doesn't mean they wouldn't see us. We wouldn't be invisible. But it means the people's eyes would not have any effect on us. So when we say that a person is subject to Ayin Hara, it means a person has acted in a way that has removed his Tzelem Elokim, his image of God. When Rav says 99% of people die from Ayin Hara, it means that 99% of people have acted in a way that removed their Tzelem Elokim from them. According to that, now I didn't see anyone who said this, So I say this with great hesitation because we have no reason to think that Hanani, Mishael, and Zarya did anything wrong. But when Rav says that they died b'ayin hara, according to all these interpretations, we'd have to go back and see what does that mean. So according to Doros Chaim, it means that Hanani, Mishael, and Zarya, for the rest of their lives, were not subject to special hashkacha pratis. They somehow descended to a level of being subject to the ways of the world, and therefore they died b'ayin hara. According to the Chidah, it simply means that, according to the first interpretation of Chidah, it means that they died normal death with things unpleasant things associated with it, financial or social or family, whatever it is. According to the second interpretation, it would mean that they died from the Malach HaMavis. And according to Rav Shlomo Kluger, it would have to mean that their Tzelem Elohim was in some way diminished and they became subject to Ayin Hara. All of those are a little bit of speculation, simply taking the interpretations that we've seen of what is Ayin Hara and applying them to the Gemara statement that, as understood by Rashi, that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah died from Ayin Hara. I did not find a written source for this. I heard in a shiur once, I think from Rabbi Reisman, but I'm not sure. Another interpretation of Ayin Hara is, and this would fit more with our understanding of some of the consequences of Ayin Hara, for example, not giving a father and son consecutive aliyos to the Torah. When I asked somebody once, Dashkam Minyan, if he minded if his two sons were given Hagba and Glila, in my yeshiva, two brothers were given Hagba and Glila, his response was, are you going to make a Mishaberach with their names? And subsequently, I saw this custom brought down, that if you don't make Mishaberachs with and mention people's names, and if you don't call them up by name, then there's no Ayin Hara. If you do mention their names, there is Ayin Hara, because it causes people to associate, oh, this person with that person. So what's the idea? So the idea is, according to this source that I heard in a shir once but don't know what it is, that when people look at you and say, you know, wow, what a beautiful family he has, or what a beautiful house he has, what a beautiful car he has, it causes the person, the subject to be judged. Does he deserve such a beautiful family? Does he deserve such a beautiful house? To be judged in heaven. Does he deserve such a beautiful car? Let's open up the books and check. And therefore, when if we act in an ostentatious way, or if we act in a way that calls attention to ourselves, we are bringing the judgment on ourselves. And that's why it gets, you know, you're going to ask, well, how's that fair? It's fair because we did something to bring the judgment on ourselves. So that is an interpretation that I heard, and I'm sorry, I don't know the source. Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik, independently, because I read that Rav Soloveitchik said he never learned Rav Kook except for his commentary on the Siddur, and this is not in the commentary on the Siddur. So apparently Rav Soloveitchik didn't know this Rav Kook. They both say independently, completely different understanding of Ayin Hara. And Rav Soloveitchik goes into depth, greater depth regarding it. Ayin Hara is a state in which a person cares too much about what other people think of him. And he bases his actions on what will people think. Such a person, Rav Kook says, is inherently a weak person. And because he's a weak person, he's subject to all kinds of misfortunes. There is a midah known as hishtavut, which is very, very difficult to translate. Could mean equilibrium. It could mean apathy, but not apathy with the negative connotations. What it means is, and it's talked about, the Chovos Halvavos talks about it, about this, the Baal Shem Tov talks about this, the Shlach Kodosh talks about this. So it's a widely discussed idea. Rav Kook talks about it. A person's actions should be based entirely on what the Torah wants. What does the Torah say is right and wrong? And not caring in the least bit what people will think, whether good or bad. If people praise me, I don't care. If people criticize me, if I know I'm doing the right thing, I don't care. Now, that doesn't mean being above rebuke, because if somebody's rebuking you, he maybe is telling you you're not doing what the Torah wants. You have to listen, but don't let it get to you. Not the praise and not the criticism. Take it into account. The Chovas HaLevavos also says that if everybody praises you, it's a sign that God likes you. So you have to reconcile that too. But there's this idea that a person's action should be according to the Torah. A person has to listen to rebuke to see whether maybe he's not acting according to the Torah. But in no way should it get inside of him, oh, I messed up, people didn't like it. Or, oh, I did a great thing, people liked it. That's the midah of hishtavut, is to be completely oblivious to all of that. The person,
Hashem thinks, not what people.
What Hashem thinks is specifically manifested by what the Torah says. That's how we read Hashem's mind, by what the Torah says. All I care about is, what does Hashem think of me? That's essentially what the midah should be. A person who is not yet on that midah, and most people aren't, the overwhelming majority of people aren't, that's a very, very difficult level, is subject to depression, even, based on what other people think of him. Depression, we know, can lead to physical illnesses. So 99% of people die from ayin hara means 99% of people have their physical constitutions weakened by having insufficient self-confidence. That is ayin hara. Rav Soloveitchik, Sefer Divrei Hashkafa, pages 237, 238, explains Rav Yochanan's statement. Rav Yochanan, as I said, would sit in front of the mikvah, and people said, aren't you worried about ayin hara? And he said, I'm from the descendants of Yosef. Ayin hara doesn't bother me. What do we know about Yosef? Yosef didn't care what anyone thought of him. Yosef had a nevuah. Yosef told his brothers his nevuah. His brothers didn't like it. That didn't stop Yosef from telling them his next nevuah. Didn't stop Yosef from acting in the way that he understood was right. And he didn't care what anyone else thought. That's the midah of Yosef. Now, one of you wants to ask, isn't that gaiva? But, okay, you don't?
No. Okay, I thought you're doing what's right. Okay. People don't like it. Don't
right, but to, it. But to know I'm doing what's right. So Rav Soloveitchik addresses that. And he says that there are two different midos that come from the same root. One is called gaiva, and one is called geut. Geut. Gimel, aleph, vav, tof. Gaiva, gimel, aleph, vav, hey, is a bad thing. Geut is a good thing. We say, Shir Shalom for Friday, Hashem Malach, Geut Lavesh. Hashem dressed himself in Geut. We are supposed to emulate Hashem. If Hashem dressed himself in Geut, then we are supposed to dress ourselves in Geut. Geut means self-confidence. It's a certain kind of pride that comes from self-confidence as opposed to haughtiness, which is a different form of pride. So Rav Yochanan says, you're asking why I'm sitting in front of the mikvah, I'm not worried about ayin hara. I don't worry about ayin hara. I don't care what people think. I'm doing the right thing. Here's why I know I'm doing the right thing, because they'll see my beauty. There's no lack of tznius because I don't notice them, and I don't care. You have questions about it? Doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Did you say that the women were like chickens?
Yeah, there are a couple of Gemaras there. There's a Gemara about somebody who would pick up the bride and dance at wedding and put her on his shoulders. And I don't remember, one of them says the women are like white chickens, and one of them says it's like the woman's like a bag of potatoes. In other words, I don't remember which is which, but the idea is, like, I don't notice them, and if what I'm doing bothers you, I'm from Yosef. Doesn't mean, Soloveitchik, where he understands it, doesn't mean literally I come from the tribe of Yosef. It means I do what I understand is right. I'm not worried about what other people are going to think. That's the midah of Yosef, and that is what it means, that Yosef is above ayin hara and not subject to
the weakened state that comes from always looking, what are other people thinking about me? What are other people going to say about me? And how should it affect my actions? Back to the Gemara. Shmuel said, I'm just going to read four words. You don't need to open the Gemara. Shmuel said that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah drowned in spit. The Marsha says, what does that mean? It means they died so that the Jewish people would not be embarrassed. The Goyim were spitting at the Jews. You have a God who could save Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah from the furnace, and you bow down to the idol? They spit at them in contempt. And Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah drowned in that spit. It doesn't mean they drowned in that spit. It means that their presence, they would walk into shul, and everybody's like, oh, it's them. I'm so embarrassed every time I see them. The question that needs to be asked and answered is, the Jewish people did something wrong. The Jewish people are embarrassed. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah should die. So I asked this question to my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Tzuriel, and also to Rabbi Lopiansky. I got two different answers. Tzuriel said that the Marsha is pretty much a loner in this interpretation, and the way he understands it is that it's not a good thing for a Jew to be the source of another Jew's embarrassment. We find a concept, this is my own addition, that a concept that it's not good for a Jew to be the source of another Jew's punishment. If somebody wrongs me, it's in my best interest to forgive him, because it's a black mark against me if somebody is punished on my account. We say that in Kriya Shema Lamita, V'lo Ya'aneish Shum Adam V'sivati, nobody should be punished on my account. And I believe the Tomer Dvorah elaborates on this concept. So there's a black mark against them that they would cause embarrassment to Jewish people. However, Rav Tzuriel said, make sure to emphasize to your shir that it's not a punishment that they were taken away, or rather they were taken to a better place. They were in a world that was inhospitable to them because it caused embarrassment to all the other Jews every time they saw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were taken away to a better place. They did the right thing. So Hashem didn't want to leave them in this uncomfortable situation. He took them to the next world. It's definitely a difficult concept. I don't mean to suggest it.
So in a bunch of things that concept, what we were just discussing before, because they're saying, well, so this is, you shouldn't care what people think, you should do the right thing.
It doesn't contradict, it's a machlokas. Rav says they die from ayin hara, and Shmuel says they drowned in spit. It's absolutely a machlokas. Rabbi Lupiansky's explanation was that it means Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, and again, it's machlokas because it's not going to be consistent with what we said about ayin hara. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah died from the pain that they experienced knowing that the Jews had fallen to such a low level. So the Jews would see them. The Jews would be embarrassed. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah would see that the Jews were embarrassed. They would be sad that the Jews were on such a, that their contemporaries were on such a low level that they were embarrassed by Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And that sadness led to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah's death. Again, it's a difficult marsha, and these are two approaches to help us understand a little bit. I'm not suggesting that it answers all of the questions and makes us completely satisfied with marsha, but they're just approaches to understanding the concept. Have a good day.